are tuned in to Lightly on the Ground Radio, produced at Richmond Independent Radio and broadcast on WRIR-LP 97.3 and worldwide at WRIR.org. We're exploring our food system, which includes everything from farm to table. It extends from a seed in a farmer's hand to a bill in the hands of those making policy on the local, national, and worldwide front. We focus on the factors that each guest brings to growing and sustaining our food system. While we're talking local, the ideas are pertinent to any food system. We have two guests today. Ann Darby is Senior Planner for the Richmond Regional Planning District Commission and Co-Chair of the Food Policy Task Force. And Carolyn Graham is the Deputy Chief Administrative Officer for Human Services for the City of Richmond and Co-Chair of the Mayor's Food Policy Task Force. Welcome to Lightly on the Ground Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for coming.
It's great to be here.
Yeah, and thank you for visiting the studio. And since you're both here to tell the story, my job will be easy today. So what is the goal of this Food Policy Task Force? What is that about?
I think, Patricia, it's important, if you don't mind, if we just kind of contextualize it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the realizations of Mayor Jones after taking office was the significant impact that our residents who are without, who live in abject poverty, actually, the significant impact that they experience on a daily basis just surviving, but also the impact that that has on developing a sustainable community. And so, you know, a number of steps were taken, and this is one, the examination of access to food and fresh food to these residents, where 54% of our children are in poverty and 25% of the population in general is in poverty. And so when you begin to talk about that, you realize that, you know, over the summer months, for example, when children are not in school and not involved in recreational activities and whatnot, these children don't have access to food. And then more importantly, you don't have the availability of food stores in neighborhoods where people can get fresh, viable foods. And so they rely upon the corner or convenience stores. And they're buying food that's heavily processed, not fresh. And so we're faced with a lot of obesity, a lot of chronic diseases, health disparities in this community here, all mm-hmm. exacerbated because people do not have access to foods and stuff. So that realization gave rise to a number of commissions being established, and this being one. And I'm going to let Ann Darby, whom we chose early on to work with us in this effort because of her work at VCU as a graduate student in food. And I'm going to let her talk to you a little bit about the charge of this commission and what we've done.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Carolyn Graham.
Mm-hmm.
The charge, the mayor assembled a group of advocates, experts in policy, mm-hmm. grocers, restaurateurs, a wide spectrum of people across the food system to address these issues and to come up with a system or a series of recommendations to alleviate the burden and to increase food access in the city. Because the issue is so broad, we were divided early on into six different subgroups. Subgroup focused on enterprise development, one on food security, one on education and awareness, one on health and nutrition, one on school and community gardens, and then there was a sixth subgroup that worked on the community assessment, which is basically the painting the picture in terms of, you know, mapping data, research, outlining the problem in a really solid, defensible format. And then each group came up with five recommendations to address the specific problem they were asked to address.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of interesting because when you look at the lack of access to food and you overlay it, that access issue with the neighborhoods that are so steeped in poverty, there's a direct correlation between the quality of life that the residents live in those communities,
mm-hmm.
their health indices, as well as the lack of social supports and resources such as healthy food options. And so those things combine, if you will, and conspire to continue to keep people where they are and not able to break out. And so food in that context really is a social justice issue. Mm-hmm. And you've got to address it from that standpoint. If you're going to create unique and inclusive neighborhoods, it's got to have all facets of what makes life viable and meaningful for everybody in those neighborhoods and in those communities. And so the work of this task force is going to be very important as we move to presenting the body of work to the mayor and then to the city council. And we've presented it to the community here in the various community forums that we've had, got their input. Then we also did a survey, right? Mm-hmm. We did a survey and got input that way. We wanted as many voices in this body of work as we possibly could get. We do recognize that the issue of power or lack thereof in some communities or does not necessarily support voice. And so when people are powerless or have a sense of powerlessness, they do not necessarily contribute voice to the outcomes that you're always seeking. But we do, I think, we did get a pretty representative collection of voices in this community around food quality, access, and so forth. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I agree. Between the community forum and the online survey, which allowed people who couldn't make the forum to respond at the forum and in the survey, residents were asked to prioritize the 25 recommendations that the task force made. And so from the moment of the forum and the survey on, the way that the task force and the city has been looking at the recommendations is with a very heavy weight on the community feedback.
Okay.
So
exactly.
It's definitely a community-involved process. It's not just the task force pushing their agenda in the community. There's reciprocation, and there's a lot of great energy from people I talk to, from what I've read in the paper and online. I hear about it a lot. People are very excited that the city is addressing this issue, and it's very timely and well received.
Well, good. Well, let's take a minute and look at some of the particulars. Pick one out and tell us what happened, what the priorities are, and how we're moving toward achieving them, and how the citizens can continue to be involved in the process.
I think getting we certainly can give you the recommendations such as creating a local food hub or community kitchen. That for me is one of the exciting ones.
Me too.
Yeah. And so what the vision that I have of that, if realized, and I believe it's supported by the vision of many of the members of the task force, and is that we have this community space where people can come and learn to prepare healthy meals, where they can preserve the outputs of their gardens, their community gardens, as well as their yard gardens and whatnot, and actually can store food and preserve them for the cold winter months as we used to do. But it would give folk more control over their food. They would have to spend less of their few dollars in some cases on food, but also be able to preserve what they would have. And it would allow the community to come together and to talk and to share and I think that kind of experience begins to increase community cohesion and meaningfulness, and children can play in the space and whatnot. I would envision that we would have a play space for children while families are canning and preserving.
Yeah,
that children would play, and as opposed to watching TV, and so it would be a time of sharing, of real community sharing.
I just want to add to that one of the things that makes me really excited about that idea. One of the less tangible barriers to food equity, but something that's incredibly important is the lack of education. Mm-hmm. People don't know how to cook.
Right.
And it seems overwhelming. And this isn't people in any particular socioeconomic mm-hmm. stratus.
Correct.
I mean, this is a lot of people. And mm-hmm. having a community mm-hmm. center where people talk about cooking, they ask about cooking, they try to share the joy of that,
mm-hmm.
I think that takes it a step, you know, makes it real and gives mm-hmm. it feeling in a way that I think is got great potential.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
great. So that's the food hub idea.
That's the food hub idea.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
So what's next?
One of the things I heard talked about the most besides the food hub is the idea that the city could create a food policy coordinator position. Mm-hmm. It would be a job in the city, and one person would be dedicated to addressing food issues, whether it is increasing communication between various entities that need to be involved, figuring out how to break down barriers, writing grants for new projects, mm-hmm. being a touchstone mm-hmm. for people wanting to start new projects that have difficulty navigating through mm-hmm. various processes. Just having that one position, I think, would facilitate so many new projects and eventually make a huge impact in food access in the city.
And it also would be a position that conceivably could look more broadly at this issue
mm-hmm.
from an economic development standpoint. In one community that we sent folk to, a team of people to look at how they were addressing the dearth of food in certain neighborhoods and access to fresh foods, what they found was that actually one of the coordinators of homeless services, you know, in the not-for-profit sector, had actually developed a method for moving fresh farm produce to corner stores using formerly homeless people. So that's work. That's a job.
Mm-hmm.
That's a way to get food into communities where you can't, you know, you wouldn't necessarily be able to do that. But you would have one person looking broadly at what other communities have done in order to achieve goals like that to make it work. Looking broadly at growing community gardens and policies associated with that. Right
mm-hmm.
now, if you grow on public property, you cannot sell. You can't take the produce to market. So looking at ways to rethink and restructure that policy so that we get buy-in from the community. Because often, you know, if you grow something, you know, you really can, you know, you teach someone how to fish, if you will, you know, they'll be able to have fish forever.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we can teach them how to grow, not only to preserve their foods, what they've grown, but also to take it to market,
mm-hmm.
then we're talking about people creating a living for themselves. It's new work. It's work that has to be done in a sustainable community.
That's mm-hmm. true.
Mm-hmm.
Listeners, we are having Lightly on the Ground Radio, and our guests today are the co-chairs of the Mayor's Food Policy Task Force, Carolyn Graham, Deputy Chief Administrative Officer for Human Services, and Ann Darby with the Regional Planning District Commission.
I have a little faith, I say. Have a little faith, my friend. We got to help each other. That we're living in. Have a little faith, I say. Have a little faith, my friend. We got trouble everywhere around the world. There's not a safe place to be for any woman, man, boy, or girl. And everywhere you turn, there's destruction and pain. Get a mouthful of promises and a hat full of rain. Just have a little faith, I say. Have a little faith, my friend. We got to help each other through thick and thin. These are trying times that we're
have a little faith, I say. Have a little faith, my friend. We've got to help each other through thick and thin. These are trying times that we're living in. Oh, have a little faith, I say. Have a little faith, my friend.
Getting our children really acclimated to the beauty of fresh foods and eating fresh foods and preparing fresh foods and developing this healthy relationship. Food consumption is a sacred act, and you know, and a high regard for what we eat, what we consume, how it gets to our tables is an important piece that I think has been lost in our hurry up, get fast, get quick, you know, shove it down culture. And we've got to reconstruct that, because when you can appreciate what you're consuming, when you can appreciate how it got to your table and the many hands that were involved, either in your hands or somebody else's hands that were involved in getting it to your table, then I think we develop a different perspective about food and a different appreciation about food. Mm-hmm. And we're not so quick to be satisfied with junk food and food that's overly processed and mm-hmm. food that's been, you know, slaughtered inappropriately and then preserved inappropriately, you know. Mm-hmm. And so it really is about how we begin to educate our community about a real appreciation for food and what we're eating and how we're eating it and how it gets to us, mm-hmm. and whether or not it does even get to us.
Mm-hmm. 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 More projects?
Sure. We're just I wish we could go into such depth. Each one deserves a half hour, but let's just give everybody an overview of what we're doing.
Well, I know that there's one that you want to talk about in a second. So I won't take that away from you. But one is the city expanding educational programs mm-hmm. that teach people, and this mm-hmm. speaks to what Dr. Graham was just talking about, mm-hmm. but having a system of educational programs. There's another one that talks about using the libraries, our existing yeah. libraries, which are already mm-hmm. an existing community research mm-hmm. resource and an existing information hub, mm-hmm. Amping up the classes, the resources available there regarding food, whether it's cooking classes, whether it's in, you know, nutrition classes. That depends mm-hmm. a lot on the facilities available. But using libraries, using our existing community resources to increase food. There's another recommendation about the city creating a Get Healthy mm-hmm. branding campaign mm-hmm. where mm-hmm. Businesses could join, having marking their participation in some way, which would ultimately behoove them if people increase their patronage because they wanted to support a business that was involved in the healthy food system. One is for the city to reduce or eliminate, probably just reduce, the irrigation fees for community gardens. Mm-hmm. One of the things that is the most prohibitive for a new community garden is having water, yeah. whether hooking up to the street, which is incredibly expensive, mm-hmm. hooking to a fire hydrant, which is also expensive and mm-hmm. a little intimidating at first. There's a expensive piece of equipment, and then you have to be pretty skilled to mm-hmm. to do that. Mm-hmm. So, and that's another thing that ultimately a food policy coordinator could help with.
If we were getting rainfall at the level that used to occur here, mm-hmm. you really could catch that water and use it for irrigation. Mm-hmm. But that's not possible now. And so we're using a public resource. There are kinks like that we've got to work out, you know, how to make water accessible in these community spaces where the only available water would be a fire hydrant, and there is a fee attached to that. Mm-hmm. So how do we do that? Because that's a separate enterprise, and the enterprise has certain rules that it has to adhere to. Mm-hmm. But we can look creatively, and someone whose sole task, and that is on food policy, could look at ways to begin to overcome that, and that other communities have used to overcome that, such as Will Allen and the work that he's done or is doing. Mm-hmm. Milwaukee. Right, where that has community gardening and whatnot has become a major enterprise for the area.
Yeah, he calls mm-hmm. it agri-farming.
Yes.
I mean, he's doing it in mm-hmm. a big way.
Right, exactly, yeah. Exactly.
And mm-hmm. he points out, as does Michael Abelman, someone from the northwest corner of the country, mm-hmm. that our big farmers need to look at the commodities, because mm-hmm. we still need all this wheat. We still need corn. We're still mm-hmm. going to be a meat-based mm-hmm. system where we're feeding animals mm-hmm. a large amount of grown grains. Mm-hmm. And we need to get to the backyard gardens mm-hmm. and the community gardens where people are actually producing the vegetables
right.
and the finer things that we eat, mm-hmm. you know, the discrete mm-hmm. nutrient sources that we mm-hmm. need.
Right.
And some backyard protein. Whenever I mention the Food Policy Council or whenever anything hits the paper, people come around and say, well, can we have chickens in the backyard yet? So what's the story with that? Tell us how that's evolving.
That really did catch fire. And I never expected the level of excitement and involvement that the whole piece generated. And so actually, it took wings and it flew.
Great analogy.
You know, and sort of left the task force behind. Advocates have been to the city council to make presentations and passionate pleas about moving this forward. The city council has actually initiated a piece of research that the administration had to do on what we needed to do, what the city needed to do, procedures or steps that the city needed to take in making chickens possible. That piece will be reviewed by the council at its first session, I believe, in September. We did the research. And so it is. There's a lot of excitement. And actually, there were rules on the books already in Virginia that permitted people to have chickens in the backyard, if you will. And so we needed to. The administration has done the research, and we just simply recommended refining what was already on the book and making it possible here in mm-hmm. in Richmond. We looked at Charlottesville, we mm-hmm. looked at Roanoke, we looked all over the state mm-hmm. and have come up with some recommendations.
And what are they? I know one of them is 6 hens.
No, it's 4.
Oh, it was reduced to 4. Okay, I saw an old version.
I think it's 4 and uh-huh. no roosters. That's the recommendation here. And of course, I'm sure it's, you know, as it is reviewed by the public and the elected officials, it'll take, you know, a new form. But we've done the research that backs up and supports mm-hmm. the recommendation.
Mm-hmm. Is there a place where the listeners can go to become involved in this?
Well, we are now editing, doing the final edit of mm-hmm. the document. We will be moving it to the mayor sometime next week or mm-hmm. the week after, so that he is able to present it to the city council. And from that point, we move into implementation. The mayor will decide what his priorities are, and the council will, I'm certain will also opine, and then we will move into the implementation phases.
That's
of this.
Wonderful.
And hopefully the 13-14 budget mm-hmm. will support the recommendations that we pursue here, and ideally we'll have a community kitchen.
Yeah. Well, thank you both so much for participating, mm-hmm. and thank you for your leadership on this.
Thank you.
Every city needs to take a good look at their food system and make policies for the future. You know, we're just riding on the past now, and
yes.
we need to move on. Even Richmond, Virginia,
yes.
the city of tradition.
Yeah, and it becomes even more crucial and critical when you have, you know, the electrical outages and whatnot that we experience as mm-hmm. a result of the bad storms and all. People are left without because the huge grocery stores also go out of business, too, right. during those periods.
Mm. Yeah. Well... Yeah. Mm-hmm. Once again, thank you both, Ann Darby and Dr. Carolyn Graham. Mm-hmm. Lightly on the Ground Radio is a Sunny Garden production for Richmond Independent Radio. And I'm grateful to all the volunteers, especially Ethan Scott and Jay Westerman, and to our community of donors and underwriters who bought us all this equipment for making radio. The theme music is Bonefire Dance by Rattlemouth, and the incidental music was Have a Little Faith by Mavis Staples. And you can befriend us on Facebook by joining the Lightly on the Ground radio group so you will know who will appear on the show and when podcasts become available. So thanks again for coming. And
thank
I hope
you.
That you'll come back.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Onward through the fog.
Yeah.